was blind and now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost and now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to a treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing. Surely every season you are good to me. Oh, 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 you are good to me. Oh, 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 you are good to me. You were there in the valley of shadow. You were there in the depth of my sorrows. You're my strength, blessed beyond all measure. Oh, I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing. Surely every season you are good.
Have your Bible with you this morning. If you could take it and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. We'll be looking at that here in just a moment. In our culture, memorials are important. If you plan a trip to Washington, D.C., if you're going to go on vacation there, your trip will probably include seeing things like the Lincoln Memorial, the Thomas Jefferson Memorial, maybe the Washington Monument, the Korean War Veterans Memorial, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. If you plan a trip to New York City, most likely you're going to stop by and see the 9/11 memorial, or perhaps even the Titanic memorial. If you travel across Wyoming, even our city parks, we have statues and things set up as memorials to things that happened. A year ago, our church sent me to Indiana to watch a Colts-Broncos game. I was thinking about that a few minutes ago, and I wish my 20th was this year when the Colts were actually good and I could go watch them play, but you can't have everything. But when we went to the game, sports arenas put up statues of their great ones. And so there's was a new Peyton Manning statue, and I do have pictures of me standing with the Peyton Manning statue outside of there. Our churches do that. Church, and they set up things, memorials, and you see little plaques on stuff, and you see this given in memory, and you'll have those things on things like podiums or mirrors or tables. Or one time we were on a mission trip and we were staying in a church overnight, and I noticed the plaque sitting on a VCR, and it said, "This giving in memory of such and such," and I thought to myself, nothing says lasting memory like putting it on an outdated piece of equipment, right? The idea of memorials is that we have something that will not be forgotten, something that is important, that reminds us of something that happened. And in Joshua chapter 4, God instructs Joshua to construct a memorial for the Israelites. And so follow along as we read, and we're going to read several verses here of Joshua chapter 4 as you catch the story. It says, "Now when all the nations had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet were standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.' So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, that when your children ask later, saying, What do these stones mean to you? You shall say to them, Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.' Thus says the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel, and they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. For the priests who carried the Ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed. When all the people had finished crossing, the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed before the people. The sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 equipped for war crossed for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him just as they revered Moses all the days of his life. Now the Lord said to Joshua, Command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony that they may come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, saying, Come up from the Jordan. It came about when the priests who had carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come up out of the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on the ground, that the waters of Jordan returned to their place and went over all the banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. These 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the sons of Israel, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters on the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which you dried up before until we crossed, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever." So let me give you the background, some context of this scripture. The spies have just returned from Jericho. They had been hidden by Rahab, and they come back and they give the report that Jericho is ready to be taken, that people of Jericho are fearful, God is already at work there, and the time has come for us to cross into the land that God has given, into the promised land. The Jordan is at flood stage. The waters are very high. It is impossible to cross the Jordan for man, but not impossible for God, as he picks this time for them to cross. God stops the Jordan, a giant wall of water on either side, backed up for about 20 miles so that the people of Israel can cross over on dry ground, completely dry ground. And then God instructs Joshua to have the people build a memorial, 12 stones on dry ground, and then 12 stones to be put into the river, one for each tribe of Israel, to be set up as a memorial for future generations so they can remember what God has done. As we talk here this morning and as we look at this passage, it is really important for us to build memorials in our lives for the same reasons. We need to build lasting memories, lasting memorials of what God has done in our life, of God's faithfulness, so that it carries us through our lives and in future generations. And these need to be established while God was working. See, while the Jordan was still parted, while this event was still happening, God said, now is the time to set up this memorial. They crossed the Jordan, just as Joshua said, and he tells them to go back into the river and get the stones. But there was no fear of going back into the river, right? Because they had just walked out of it. They didn't walk back in and think, oh, I hope the waters don't come, because they had already seen this great experience of God, this great miracle. So there was no fear going back in. It was something easy for them to do. And so they went in and they gathered these stones to represent and remind them of God's faithfulness. And during our times of our life, we need to do the same thing. And we do share memories. There are things that are in our minds, that are etched in our minds, memories we have that are there forever, and we like to share those memories. And some of them are important, some not so important. Like, I remember several years ago, my girls were real, real little. We were talking about taking a vacation and going away just as a family, and I jokingly said to my wife, let's go someplace where the Cubs are playing, and she said, okay. That was crazy. So we looked. And the Cubs were playing in Texas, and so we made that as part of our plan. We went down to watch a Cubs-Rangers game. And it just so happened that that was a time when Sammy Sosa was preparing to hit his 600th home run, which is a big milestone, right? So we go to the game, and we're there, and not, you know, 100 feet from us, Sosa launches a home run into the bleachers, and the crowd goes crazy. Fireworks are going off. Everybody's standing and applauding. They gave this little commemorative poster. If you hurried up, you got one. So I hurried up and got one of those posters, and I still have that. The very next batter hits a home run, and Abby jumps up and down and starts clapping her hands and all excited. And I said, Abby, it's the wrong team. And she looks at me and she says, oh, I thought we were clapping for the fireworks. I mean, she had no idea what was happening. Those memories etched in our mind. Okay. Even though it's a great memory, that's not really what we're talking about as far as memorial stones. We really need to put things in our life that remind us of God's faithfulness, that we can look back on in times. And I am going to share some personal examples of memorial stones in my life. When I was a 5-year-old boy, in my bedroom, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's a memorial stone. It's something that I won't forget. It's part of who I am. Unfortunately, when I was a teenager and a young adult, I was kind of an idiot. And I wandered away from that faith. And when I was in college, I was kind of playing that game, trying to, you know, please God and go to church, but still kind of hold on to, you know, kind of the life that I wanted to live. And this is one of those stones in my life, one of these times. I was teaching a 5th and 6th grade Sunday school class. I have no idea why they let me teach this class. But it was over the summer, and I'm teaching this class. And it was 4th of July weekend. On that weekend, a lot of my Christian friends had gone home for the holiday, and I was there in town hanging out. So I hooked up with some of my other friends, and we ended up going out and partying that night and drinking that night. And then I show up to church the next day, and I'm sitting in front of these 5th and 6th graders. And as I share this, every time I share this, I get these goosebumps and this conviction of God. But I'm sitting in front of these little kids. And I had just spent my night doing stuff that I shouldn't have done. And God spoke to me in a way that he's only spoke to me a few times. And he says to me, Eddie, are you really going to do this? Are you really going to act like that and come teach my children? And at that point that I said, okay, I'm done. I can't be like that. I can't play both games anymore. And that was a turning point in my life that has also been set up as a memorial stone in my life. My call to ministry. When I was at a missions conference in Louisville, Kentucky, I remember sitting at a conference and being there and the speaker speaking, and I had plans for my life. Now, I was a college student. My plans changed several times. I had like 3 majors, but at this time, I was pretty sure what my plans were. I was going to teach and coach, and then God at that meeting said, Ed, I want you to do ministry. I'm calling you into ministry, and that was a change. I had no idea what that was going to mean, but it was a memorial stone in my life. My 33rd year of life, that whole year, was a memorial stone. See, I turned 33, and the next day at my daughter's birthday party, I had a gallbladder attack. And a few days later, I ended up having gallbladder surgery and having my gallbladder removed. That was just 10 days before I was scheduled to have rotator cuff surgery on my left shoulder. That was the year that my father had pancreatitis, and he suffered for 10 months before he died. And I traveled back and forth to Indiana several times as he had emergency surgeries and dealt with that. During that same year, my wife had spent some time in the hospital. And just before my 34th birthday, I hurt my left knee and had knee surgery. And so this year was a year of a catastrophe, a year of craziness. But I'm being honest, I didn't realize how bad the year was until it came to a close and somebody looked at me and said, "Man, you had a really bad year, didn't you?" And I thought about it and I said, "You know what? I did. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I did have a bad year." But that was a year that I saw a ton of faithfulness from God. That God carried me through, and in difficult times now, sometimes I think back to some of the struggles that I went through during that time and said, but God was good. And God's going to be good in the future. And I know that I can trust in Him and rely on Him. The last one of these I'm going to share was I was 40 years old, and I was struggling with a crisis of calling is what I call it, right? I was 40 years old. I'm a youth pastor. And I was an old youth pastor, and I was asking God, can I still do this? Can I still do this ministry? And I'm up on a mountain, and I was hunting and got separated from the guys I was hunting with, and I'm sitting there and just having this conversation with God, and God very clearly says to me, "Ed, I've called you to invest your life in the lives of people. You take care of that. Let me take care of the rest." And it was so freeing. And then as I do ministry from that point on over the last 8 years, that keeps sticking to me, that God has called me to just invest in the lives of people. See, we set these things up in our lives as lasting memories. And how we do this, most of these things are things that happen in our brains that we kind of keep them. I love the kids' answers, right? One of the kids started explaining to you how the brain works and what part of your brain keeps the memories. He lost me after about 2 seconds. But these could be notes in prayer journals where you just kind of you keep a prayer journal and you jot something down, and then later you refer back to that. For our youth, sometimes they make decisions at camp, and I've seen kids that make a decision, they give them a commitment card, and years later they'll have that commitment card sitting in their Bible. Maybe for some of you it's a Bible that was given to you with a note inscribed in it. For years I kept a letter in my Bible written to me by a Sunday school teacher when I was in high school that was a letter of encouragement, and that was something that I had kept. But these are memorials we have to keep and etch in our mind so we can know and understand the experience of God's faithfulness. These are things we fall back on when we're needed, and they have to be lasting memories, things that carry us through, not just fleeting thoughts, not just things that happened and are gone, but things that carry us through as lasting tributes and truths to God's strength. Have we ever struggled in our faith? I mean, been times in our life we really struggled. Maybe we questioned God. And we ask ourselves, God, are you really even there? God, are you hearing me? God, what are you doing? And we struggle through those times, and we're questioning, and we're unsure. Those are the times we need to look back on those memorial stones and know that same God who was faithful before will be faithful again. See, the Israelites, they're facing a daunting task. They have crossed the Jordan, but they still have to go and conquer the promised land. And as they go forward, there's going to be victories. And as they go forward, there's going to be defeats. There's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. But they can look back and they can say the same God that stopped the Jordan is the same God that's going to carry us through. The same God who let us walk on dry land is the same God who's going to perform a miracle and help us in the future times ahead. Through the ups and downs, we have these reminders of God's promise, His goodness, and His faithfulness. These memorial stones aren't just things that are memories for us, but these are things that guide us into the future. They prepare us for the future. The Israelites, I love it in verse 13, it says, about 40,000 went equipped for war, crossed for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. See, they were prepared for the future. They didn't cross the Jordan. They crossed ready to fight. They crossed in battle array. They were ready for what was coming next. After having seen God work in the past, they were fully confident that God was going to carry them through. And from that moment on, even though they had no idea what the future was, they were ready to fight and face the future. We have no idea what our future holds. We have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring, but are we ready to face the future? Pages unwritten. A story still to be defined. What's going to happen in our future? I have no idea, but I know that God will carry us through, and we have those memorial stones that are built. The priests, they came out of the water. On dry ground, the river flows again, and there was no looking back. There was no crossing back over. You couldn't do that, but why would they want to? Why would they go back to that? They had the memorial stones on this side of the Jordan to remind them of God's faithfulness. You know, we can't get stuck in how things used to be. As you read through the Old Testament and you read through the story of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, I always find it funny as they sit there and as they're complaining to Moses and they're saying, you know, I wish we were back in Egypt. Things were so much better than we were back in Egypt. Yeah, back when they were beaten as slaves and working all the time, so much better. Sometimes the good old days aren't as good as we remember them. They're not always that way. The good old days weren't that. We can't get caught up in the past and forget that there's stuff to do in the future. We need to be prepared for moving forward. See, once they crossed that Jordan, their days of wandering were gone. They were behind them, never to be anymore, because the future was on this side. Friends, our future is coming. We can't live in the past. Those memorial stones, those things that happen, are things that drive us to that future. Gone are the days of yesterday. We still have things to do. Be forward thinkers. There's much to be done. You know, in our personal lives, we have ministry to do. We have things in our lives to do. In our ministries, we have things to do. As a church, we have a great unwritten future that God's going to do amazing things. And we can look at God's faithfulness for many, many years and know that God will continue to be faithful to us. We also see that these memorial stones point others to God's faithfulness. See, the work that God does in our lives should be evident to cause people to inquire and say, what is it that's happening? Explain that to me. I have a trunk full of old stuff. Anybody have a box full of old stuff? So I have, lots of old stuff, but from high school and stuff, I have a box that has all my old baseball trophies, basketball medals, track medals. I have I even have a science fair medal in there and a math contest thing. And I had these things in my box. And I'm not one of those guys that still has all my high school stuff on a wall, right? It's in a box. But sometimes my kids and my boys have been bugging me about this here recently and said, can we get your trunk out and see your stuff? And so occasionally I'll get that trunk out. It's hard to get to because my TV sits on it, so I got to take the TV off. But I'll take that trunk out and we'll look at those things. And then I'll begin to explain to them, hey, how'd you get this trophy? What happened? And I can begin to share about those events and about what happened. See, our faith should do that. People should see our faith and cause people to inquire. And we can take time to say, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you how God has been faithful. When people are struggling through life and they look at you and say, how'd you get through that? We can take the time to say, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you about it. Our faith causes people to inquire. When we handle situations in a godly manner, people notice. And they want to know how, and they want to know why. And we have an opportunity to testify and serve as an example to them. See, our testimony, our memorial stone should be an example to people. It should be an example to our children. In verse 20 and 21, 21 says, he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crosses Jordan on dry ground. See, we have a responsibility to build the faith of our children. If we as parents have a faith that is wishy-washy, we have a faith that is up and down, if we allow crises to make us struggle, our kids will notice that, our children notice that. But if we stand firm on God's word and we work through those things and we trust and rely on God, our children notice that as well. And we have a responsibility to our children to build a faith in them. An inconsistent faith in us builds an inconsistent faith in our children. This needs to be a reminder to our children. Be willing to take the time to share with them what God has done. Share stories with them. And then it goes on and it says, the people of the world, it says that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The nations knew about Israel, and they knew about Israel's God. When they crossed the Jordan, the nations were afraid because they knew that Israel's God was going to take care of them. Our world knows that we have a God that is in control, and we have the opportunity to share that, spending time praising God and telling the story of what God has done. Picture with me what's happening here at the Israelites. They have just crossed the Jordan. They are camped for the night. They are on the promised land side. And I picture them camping, and I love to go out and camp. And in Wyoming, you go out and outside of town, and the stars are in the sky. And I picture them sitting in this beautiful night underneath the stars. And as they're sitting there, their future really is uncertain. They have no idea exactly what's going to happen next, what lies ahead. And they're sitting and they're talking and they're seeing all this land that is not yet conquered. And they look back as they're sitting there and they see these 12 stones. And they look at these stones and they say, God, I don't know what's next, but I know you're faithful and you're going to carry us through. I can picture them sitting there and doing that, knowing that the future is in God's hands. What about us today? How much do we trust God moving into our future? Let us build memorial stones in our lives, looking at God's faithfulness that drive us to what God has next, strengthening us for our future. But let me ask you, invite you to think about a few things. This morning, maybe you're here and you're struggling with faith. Maybe here and you're struggling with your walk, and maybe today is a day you need to stop and think about how good God has been. See, I've met with people that when they have crises happen in their life, when they walk with the Lord and something will come up and everything just crashes. We can't be people who crash at every crisis. Maybe today is a day you need to come and say, God, I need that strength of faithfulness as we walk through. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with what tomorrow holds. Maybe the future is uncertain for you and you're kind of wondering through that. Maybe today is a day you need to stop and say, God, I'm going to trust you with my future. Maybe you're here today and we need to be people who tell the story of God's faithfulness. You respond however God leads you.